If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's 99.1 PLR. This is John, and I am sitting down with James Sweat. He's an author. He's a motivational speaker. He's a life coach and working with the city of New Haven right now to help people who are struggling with addiction. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So I was looking at your LinkedIn page, and I saw a quote that particularly resonated with me, and it was just in your bio, and like what an inane thing LinkedIn bios usually are, but yours had some impact. Navigate responsibilities while dealing with damaged confidence. So there's a couple of things that stuck out to me. No, I'm going to dive right into the deep end with this one, dude. So when you talk about addiction and you talk about people who are dealing with addiction or even people who are in their periphery, right? You know, friends and family, you think about navigating the addiction itself. How is this person going to stop using? How am I going to stop using? What you don't think about is the things that fall by the wayside. So I love the fact that you pointed out navigating responsibilities, because that's where you see the loss, right? That's where you see people's lives start to fall apart. And that's where you see the shame start to grow that turns into either a deepening of addiction or an end of someone's life, you know, ultimately. And dealing with that damaged confidence, not just in the moment, but also coming out of it on the other side. So I guess, I mean, you wrote it, man. Talk to me about that quote. What does it mean to you?
All right. The quote for me stands out as far as when it comes to people using substances, it's always a reason behind it. There's trauma. There's abuse. There's heartache. There's being cheated on. There's so many things that lead to people wanting to use substances, right? And the reason that they're using them is to suppress all these feelings, the emotions, the hurt, everything that they've been through. And in the course of suppressing those things, things go by the wayside. You might stop paying your bills. You might stop being there for your family. You might start not being who you were called to be, and you fall off track. But just because you fall off track doesn't mean that you can't get back on it.
Right.
But that's what stigma is. People think that just because you were an addict or you were someone who has substance use disorder or someone that was an alcoholic, that you can't bounce back and become better than ever.
I want to talk about stigma, but before we get there, just based on what you just brought up, you have experience yourself as a user, as an addict.
Yes.
Can you talk about what brought you to that place?
Okay. Early on, like late teens, early 20s, I smoke and smoke a lot of weed, drink a lot.
Right. You're in good company, James. That's okay. No, we're in lockstep, bud.
Right. But addiction seriously kicked off for me 2020 to 2021. I was a truck driver.
Okay.
And I had injured my spine really bad. I had herniated disc and annular tear and a disc bulge, and got pretty bad.
That sounds terrible.
Like there was times at night where I couldn't even sleep through the night. I'm waking up screaming in pain. If I moved an inch, it was so horrible, right? I ended up having to get spinal fusion surgery. So I had 4 screws and 2 rods in my spine for the rest of my life. I had to learn how to rewalk again. I was on the verge of losing my apartment. Didn't have a job. I thought my life was over, you know, and the pain was so bad that the recommended doses that they gave me wasn't strong enough. So I ended up taking more than prescribed just so I wouldn't feel anything. Like if anyone's ever had a really bad cut or you broke a bone and you know that pain, imagine that times 10. And it's not just in one area if you feel it through your whole body.
And I got to bring it up just because of the recent Purdue Pharma ruling that was just a couple of months ago. Was this OxyContin? Was this codone? Was
yes.
This, yeah. Mm-hmm. OxyContin.
Oxys and Perks.
Oxys and Perks.
Yep.
Right. Which is such a common gateway that we've heard. And I think you and I are about the same age. I might be a little older, but like anyone who grew up in that early 2000s time and you're going to high school, you're going to college and stuff like that, it was everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It was everywhere.
Easy to access.
Very easy to access. Mm-hmm. And very easy for people who don't fit the average person's idea of what an addict might look like or what might behave like fell into that as a result of what happened to you through medical issues.
Yes.
Right.
And there is no look for an addict. You know, when people think of someone who has substance use disorder, it's you might picture someone that's outside or someone who doesn't have good clothing on. They might have the best hygiene. But there are also people who are functioning. You know, they're clean cut. They dress well. They speak very well. But behind closed doors, you don't know what these people do.
Right.
Just because someone looks a certain way, don't prejudge them. You know.
So let's talk about stigma, and let's talk about that judgment that we were just talking about. I had written this down. So would you call stigma the largest obstacle to seeking help, or talk about why stigma is such a large obstacle to seeking help? Now, there's obviously issues about quelling that stigma in the community as well. But, you know, it starts with the self, right? It starts with the self stigma. It starts with your own version of yourself that changes when you go through a trauma, and addiction is a trauma. So, yeah, talk about stigma as being an obstacle to seeking help.
Stigma is a major obstacle. It's not the only one. There's tons of other obstacles.
Sure.
But it's a major obstacle because when you open up to someone and you tell them that you have a problem, that's scary to do. You don't know who you can trust. You don't know if they're going to make fun of you. You don't know if they're going to make posts of you on social media. You don't know if they're going to tell your friends and family. You don't know if you're going to lose your job. So with stigma, once people feel that they're ready to open up, it's scary to open up because you don't know what's going to come after that, right? And the only way to get the help that you need is to actually come out and say, hey, I have a problem. I'm struggling with this, and I need the help.
Where does... this is going to seem like such an obvious question, but I think it needs to be asked. Where does that stigma come from? In other words, what predisposed ideas do people have that, you know, that cause stigma around addiction and people struggling with it? What are things that you hear from other people in your life that, you know, really raise that stigma?
Well, it is.
Does that make sense? That was awkwardly phrased on my part, but it does make sense.
What it is fear. Yeah. Fear of judgment, fear of, oh, I'm going to be labeled this person forever. Oh, I'm going to lose my kids if I go get the help that I need, because everyone's going to find out this deep, dark secret. Or I'm not going to be able to get a job. If I go and get the help that I need, it's going to end up somewhere and your life is over. That's not true. That's just the fear that's within us, right? But in order for you to get the help that you need, you got to speak up. You got to talk to somebody.
So is that first step? If there's someone listening to this who is looking to actually make that change in their life, what is the first step that they should take?
The first step is to say, I'm not okay. Everyone tries to put on this facade like they got it all figured out. Everyone's perfect. Life is great. But if you're struggling with something, whether it's substances, whether it's you have an addiction to not just drugs or alcohol, but to anything. It could be music. It could be women. It could be men. It could be whatever you're into. Is to admit that you have this problem and you need some help. If you need help, you reach out to the right resources that you need. You go on Google. Google, you can Google anything. I need help with XYZ. I need help with getting an inpatient, outpatient, medically assisted treatment. I need help with substance use disorder. I need a therapist. I need a psychiatrist. If you don't know where to go for the help, the internet is your biggest tool. Don't be afraid of what's going to happen once you go get the help. Imagine how great you can be once you get the help and then you're on to a new version of yourself and a better life.
So talk to me about the work that you're doing with CCAR, which we spoke about briefly before we started today, and with the city of New Haven. Mm-hmm.
So I am the current center manager for Connecticut Community for Addiction Recovery in New Haven. What it is a recovery community center. What we do is we help people with getting into NAAA, which is like 12-step programs. If you need medically assisted treatment, if you need help getting into detox, if you need an inpatient program, if you need intensive outpatient program, these are the things that we do in the center. But we also provide fun and activities on a day-to-day basis. Monday through Friday, we're open 8:30 to 4:30. Saturdays is 10 to 2. But we do arts and crafts. We have recovery music. We have ice cream parties, volunteer recognitions. We have opportunities. If you want to come out and you want to make a difference in your community, you can come down to the center and volunteer and become eligible for a scholarship to go to the Recovery Coach Academy for free. Hmm. You want to be in recovery? You want to help somebody else in recovery? This is a great first step for someone who's interested in that field.
I mean, I think you said it. It's community building.
Community.
Right? It's you know, it's because, you know, what's, man, there's a great quote about addiction and isolation. I can't remember what it is exactly, but that's the feeling, right? It's just, it's feeling alone and feeling like no one understands your struggle or can help your struggle.
Yep.
And that's the way to do it. You know, before we wrap up, I want to ask this because, you know, part of the reason that I got involved in this project, talking to people like you and working with the city of New Haven, is that over the last couple of years, I have lost several people very close to me
to
addiction. And thank you very much. But yeah, I mean, to addiction issues, you know, and that's, you know, cocaine, that's alcohol, that's, you know, that's, mental health issues. And for me, one of the things that I struggled with a lot as someone who was on the outside watching this person that I've known for 20 years, that I'd loved dearly, that I've called my best friend, struggle and not be able to do anything for himself, is I wonder, what's my role? What is my role as that person seeking to assist that person? And what boundaries should I put on that relationship, you know, when it reaches a point of this person's either going to help themselves or they're not, you know? Because I did, you know, I'll use one of my buddies. I won't say his name, I suppose, but, you know, this is my best friend since high school, and he'd always had an issue with the bottle. And I would get calls all day and all night, you know, of him just hysterical, crying or on a, you know. And at a certain point, I had to stop answering those calls because I knew that I couldn't do anything from a distance anymore. And so what about people who have been in my position? You know, when is it the time to put up boundaries? And what, even if those boundaries are up, are things you can do to support a person like that in your life?
All right. First, for support, when someone is in active addiction, they can only change when they're ready. Right? First, understand that. No matter how much you plead to them and you tell them you need help, or that they need help, or they... you want to see them do better, until they make it up in their mind, there's nothing you can do. But something you can do is find the resources for them. Find a contact line. Find a helpline. Find support groups. Find people who go out into the community and they provide out resources for clean needles, like harm reduction, whatever they're into, or whatever drug they're using. Find the resources for that and give it to them. When they're ready, they will use it, right? When it comes to boundaries, if you're receiving phone calls and you've given them the resources that they need, you can't want it more for them than they want it for themselves, because that's when you become drained. Boundaries is you're only as good to the person you're trying to help if you are okay. If the person is draining you financially, physically, spiritually, emotionally, then it might be time to put up a boundary. Let's say you don't answer the phone, but you won't answer it after a certain time because you know what they're calling for. Mm. Right? Also, if people are sitting back and they're comfortable where their life is at, sometimes you got to let them go through it. Because once they go through it, God, I pray to God that they get the help that they need before something bad happens to them. But once they go through it, the person that they become on the outside, on the other side of it, they've grown into somebody who can potentially help someone else because they've gone through the steps. They've went through the process, and now they've become a better human being.
Absolutely. James, what's the title of your book?
There's two books. I got Mental Ambition, A Guide to Upgrading Your Life, and Mental Ambition, A Guide to a Better Relationship.
And if someone's looking to contact you and get some help, where should they do that?
Well, you can hit my website, 3ws.mental-ambition.com. If you want to hit me on Instagram, it's @mental_ambition3.0. TikTok, @mental_ambition2.0.
James Sweat, motivational speaker, author, and, you know, someone helping people out in the city of New Haven. I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Appreciate you, too. Thank you.
What is...
if you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.